Yeah, we're on. We're live.
Yeah.
I hit record. Zach Coffey just asked, where is teacher? Because yeah, like, what's going on? Teacher is not here. But yeah, teacher is, he was traveling. So I managed to get to see him a few days ago here in London.
Oh, that's nice.
I've not seen him in person in 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years. So we managed to see
each
other.
Long time, man.
Yeah, long time. Just a quick visit. But now he's back in Australia. I think he's landing today.
Oh,
so, yeah, we'll see him again soon. Yeah. But yeah, good to have you, Zachwef, again. And
yes,
Emmanuel,
thank
good
you.
To have you both.
Yes, yeah, it's a pleasure.
You got your special clothes on for us today, Zachwef.
Yes,
yeah?
Today I'm Alaji.
Oh, hey.
Hey. You that by...
Oh my gosh.
He's going to bring back Chucky.
Oh my gosh. Be careful what's behind me. Know them ones.
It's not, it's not what's his name? It's not his son.
Oh my gosh.
Remember last time?
Oh yeah, yeah, last time. Teacher's son was in the
background.
Oh,
he was star because he just had his like underwear on. He was going to bed. I think he came out of bed and honestly it did look scary because it was dark. You just saw like something in the back. Oh my god.
It literally was like the kid from The Grudge.
Exactly.
Anything that was that we didn't record it.
It's true, you know.
It would be funny.
But yeah, great to have you both on the show. Today's going to be a great show. I've got a good feeling about today's show. We've got some good films, good movie news. We've got some hidden gems on there, trailers. So we've got a really jam-packed show. We're going to try and get through it in about 50 minutes or so. Make sure you've got enough to listen to it while you're cooking, while you're traveling to work, or whatever you're doing. Yeah, so if this is your first time, go and find us on Instagram, X, YouTube. What else is there? Facebook. And yeah, that's it. And find Zachwef. Find him on Instagram as well. Great page. Go check him out. And go check out Emmanuel's Instagram as well, which he'll shout about later as well. So, Maybe you won't, actually. That's why I said, you know what? I remember now, Emmanuel, he's one of those guys that just likes to just sneak through. You know? He doesn't want anyone to... That's enough talking. We'll do a quick shout out. First shout out goes to Marcy. I think Marcy was on YouTube. So we do get people on YouTube. Yes, okay. We do. He watches the show because we put our show on YouTube every Wednesday, 8 p.m. UK time. I'm not sure what time that is where you are, but 8 p.m. UK time. It premieres on YouTube and then it stays on there, you know, all the time. So yeah, he gave us a shout out. He said he doesn't like the idea of Aaron Taylor Johnson being James Bond.
Oh, wow. Did he give reasons?
No, he didn't. Not sure why.
Okay.
I don't know if, I've spoken to Zachwef since that news came out, but what do you think? I mean, it's a rumor. It's not confirmed.
Yeah, it's not confirmed. I don't know. I'm happy. I mean, I don't hate the guy. Mm-hmm. He's an okay actor.
Yeah.
He has some gossip with... Yeah. His partner and stuff like that, but I don't know. I think they're trying to take a new approach, you know, a younger actor to make more films.
True.
I mean, he's fit. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess.
He's a very fit man. Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah. He's going to be in Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Fit guy. He's been, obviously, we saw him in Kick-Ass when he was younger. He's got the look to be really aggressive, but also can be a bit smooth as well. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, that's a little shout out for Marcy. Thank you very much for that. So okay, so we're going to go into the movie news. We've got the first bit of movie news. So I'm going to ask you guys, do you remember Heroes?
Of course.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yatta!
There you go. First bit of Japanese for Emmanuel.
Yes.
Oh, that's Hiro Nakamura, isn't it? That
yeah.
Was his name, isn't it? Save the cheerleader.
Save the world.
Oh, my gosh. So if people are listening and thinking, what are these guys talking about? Heroes was a really good TV show. It came on, I think, from 2008 or 2007, I think.
Yeah.
Quite a long time ago, about these people that had all these sort of superhero powers, a bit like, you know, the Marvel kind of DC kind of world. It kind of reminded me a little bit of how we've got The Boys now, but it wasn't as hardcore.
No.
But do you guys have good memories of it?
For sure. I love the first season. I love it when the intro comes. And the title card, it always gives me goosebumps.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Who's your favorite character in Heroes?
It's a long... I don't remember.
No. I liked Sila.
Oh.
Sila, he was
the villain,
good.
Right?
Yeah, the villain. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. He was good.
Spock in the new Star Trek as well.
Yeah. Zachary Quinto.
That's the guy. Yes,
that's the guy.
Yes,
yeah.
Good villain.
Good villain, for sure.
And I also liked Matt Parker, who was the cop.
Oh, the cop. Yeah. He's one that could, like, read minds, you know.
Yeah.
That's the only special effects you need for him, isn't it? Just close up, make it blurry, and he's reading your mind. Yeah. But yeah, we're talking, I don't know what we're doing, but basically the news is there's a reboot that is being planned by the actual creator, Tim Kring.
So, is this going to be like the second reboot? Because wasn't it after the first one, it was like Heroes Reborn?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But I think a lot of people maybe forgotten about that. So I don't know. Because that wasn't the best. So I think this may be another attempt at really bringing it back, because they've seen that, you know, Marvel's let the ball slip. They've seen people want stuff like The Boys and stuff like that. So maybe they think if they bring it back and bring it hard, you know.
It did have a different feel as well.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it's going to be good. Hopefully they'll bring some freshness to it. And maybe some older characters as well. Remember the Haitian?
He was good.
Wicked character. The Haitian. No name, you know, just the Haitian. Oh, man. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully, I think this one's going to hopefully come out in the next couple of years. So they just started to really, you know, talk about it. So we'll see what happens. Next bit of news, Blumhouse. Okay, when I say to you Blumhouse, what comes to mind?
Horror.
Yeah. Oh. Horror, remakes, reboots, whatever.
Okay.
Anything they can find. Especially with this one. I'm actually annoyed with this one.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you share it.
Okay, so the news is that Blumhouse are set to make another Blair Witch movie.
So what, will this be like the third one?
I think this will be the third. The first one, 1999. You know, that for some people, they weren't even born. Yeah. For some of our listeners weren't born then. 1999, that's the first Blair Witch. And I must just say it, the Blair Witch Project, the first one that came out, was made for silly money. It's like the money that you wouldn't even spend on these days. They'll spend it on catering. Not even that.
Wasn't it the reason why it blew up was because how they filmed it was
found footage.
Yeah.
Found footage. I think at the time it cost $60,000 to make, and I think afterwards for marketing it cost up to about $150,000 or $200,000 total, and it brought in $180 million.
Look at that.
So that's crazy. I think it's Guinness Book of Records for one of the smallest budgets to what it brought in. But Zakov, tell us why you're not happy, man. Why are you not happy?
We're going back again, another one. I mean, like, the first one was good. Perfect film, you know? Yeah. Then they made a sequel and a third one. And now they're going to reboot the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, the third again. One. Yes.
There was a third one, which called Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Which was weird. Leave it alone.
I think it's just for a new generation, isn't it?
Yeah. But if this is the thing, they're going to keep doing it. Like, I'm like, no.
I mean, you know? My man's scratching his head. But I must say, I mean, I get where you're coming from. But we're going to talk about a film later, which is another kind of retelling of an old school classic. And I've not spoken to any of you about that film. I don't know how you feel about it, but maybe there is space for it. Maybe there's not. Only time will tell. Blair Witch 1 was so special. I mean,
yeah,
I remember watching that when I was at uni and people were talking about it. People didn't even need to I don't think I saw an advert, a trailer.
No,
it's what people were
it was word
saying
of mouth.
About it. Exactly.
Yeah.
There was no social media
and people
then.
Were making these sticks and put them everywhere in the city. Over here.
Yeah.
They
it?
Did okay. that, yeah. It was weird.
Market the people will market it.
If yeah.
It's a good film. So let's see what happens with that anyway. Next bit of news, I'll just talk about this one really quickly. So this one here, so Game of Thrones, Jon Snow. This one, the Jon Snow project. So there was meant to be a Jon Snow spin-off.
Yeah.
What was it going to be called? Which, you know nothing, Jon Snow.
No, nobody asked for that.
So. You know? It would be called Jon Snow the Bastard. But yeah, this one here, Jon Snow was meant to have a spin-off about looking at his journey after the events of Game of Thrones. And for some reason, this spin-off has now been put on the shelf.
Mm.
It's not right. being made at the moment. So we've got House of the Dragon Season 2 coming out in June.
Mm.
Jon Snow himself in an interview said that the reason why it's not happening is because they can't get it right. You know, and if they can't get it right, they're not going to put something out and make it shit, basically. They want to do yeah. it properly or not do it at all. I don't know. How do you feel? Do you think that's the right decision? Do you think they should?
I mean, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not waiting for this. So I don't care about Jon Snow. He was one of the most boring characters in the whole thing.
Who was one of your favorite? And, I don't think I've asked you before. Who was one of your favorites in
Game of course I am the Khaleesi.
Oh.
I'm their side.
Khaleesi.
Of course.
Yeah. House Targaryen.
It's an ongoing debate.
Okay.
The ending, everything. People compare us with Hitler.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Because we choose their her side, you know? It's an ongoing debate.
Yeah. How do you feel about Emmanuel? Who's your favorites in Game of Thrones? Or, have you seen Game of Thrones? You said you have seen it.
I've seen Game of Thrones, yeah, but it's just it's old now in my memory.
Yeah,
so, really.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, I know like the characters that I liked, but it was more like I liked them in one season and then changed and didn't really like them so much in another season. So
yeah.
But I think the consistent one was what's the dwarf guy,
Tyrion Lannister. Gangster character. I love him. I'll be honest, but my favorite character, Tyrion Lannister. It used to be Khaleesi up until a certain point. I still liked her, but not as much as I used to. But I like Tyrion Lannister, Bronn, who was like a sellsword, isn't it? Bronn. He's just a mad character. I love him so much. And then I liked Lyanna Mormont. You know the young girl who she's now in what's that show with Oberyn Martell?
Yes. Oh, okay, yeah.
So her, she was in it for a short time, but yeah. I just thought she was such a powerful character. She was like 12 years old. That was her first role in anything.
And that's a big role.
She just stood up and she was the leader among all these men. And I was like, she's not messing around. I just love that character. No. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not too fussed. The Game of Thrones isn't happening.
Yeah, I think that might be the reason, real reason why they've shelved it, really.
Yeah.
I also read there are more plans, you know, for more spin-offs. There's another one coming, Egg and Dunk or something like that.
Yes.
I haven't read the book, so I don't know the details, but I'm like, okay, maybe they want to push that one.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you're right, Zachary. I think they should push that one because that's a new character, a new
story.
Yeah,
exactly.
But a very, very powerful story in the whole Game of Thrones, lore.
Yeah.
So that one there, I think, will be good. Yeah, wicked. I can't wait for that one, actually.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Okay, last bit of news. Monopoly. What's going on with this, Amanda? Monopoly, the game. What's going
on? Yeah, so there's, Monopoly movie, Margot Robbie's company, Lucky Chap, is basically set to produce this. Mm. And at the moment, not a lot of has been mentioned other than Margot Robbie's film production company. Who's also famous for like films like I, Tonya, Promising Young Woman, which we reviewed previously, Saltburn, which is sadistic, man. It's just like
company done all those. I didn't realize.
Yeah, and she did Birds of Prey as well.
She's gangster.
Yeah, and so they're Yeah, so they're due to produce this film, but sources also say that apparently this film has been in development for like more than a decade, which to me, it just goes to show that how challenging filmmaking, you know, often is. Yeah. And the fact that, but you know what, Margot Robbie, she's not alone in the creativity of this, taking on this Monopoly, the movie, because we all know about Hasbro, or have heard of Hasbro in one form or another. Like, they've made made famous toy lines like Transformers, Star Wars, Marvel, Power Rangers, and those annoying little like Furbies that that when it came out, it was like, they're spying on us. That was like and yeah, and then basically they're going to be the producers on the making of the Monopoly. But personally, I'm surprised that Hasbro and Margot Robbie haven't thought to produce their own version of like murder mystery franchise, like Knives Out or Death on the Nile, because one of the other products that Hasbro has is on their portfolio is Cluedo, which is like a, if any of you have played it, it's basically like a murder mystery, guess who you know, did the murder. But I feel like that would have been a good one to, if Knives came out, Knives Out came out, and then it had that Hasbro, it would have been, it would have been like a good movie, but without everyone knowing, having to know that it was Hasbro, you know,
But I think, you never know, there's still time, maybe something like that could still come out. I didn't realize that her company made so many good films, so I reckon they could do anything, to be honest. But Monopoly, I don't know, man. I don't know about Monopoly.
Yeah, but I think the chances of that Monopoly coming out is you know, it's a bit too far ahead. I feel like the classic cult the cult classic Tank Girl, that's an old movie. That one would probably come out sooner. And she's also working on her company's also working on this comic book adaptation called Evangelina. And I think that one will come out a lot sooner as well than the Monopoly movie, because I can't really imagine like a storyline, unless it's going to be like Suits or some sort of very corporate kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You need to create a whole like a screenplay Monopoly. How do you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
That's a challenge, right?
Maybe they need to play Monopoly and write that experience into a movie.
Oh my god.
Like one night.
What, turn it into a Jumanji?
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
running out of ideas. All right, that's cool. So that's the movie news all wrapped up all nicely. Next on, we've got new ones streaming. So, X-Men 97 on Disney Plus. Have you guys caught up to that one?
Yeah, I'm up to date on the X-Men. I think the latest episode that came out is probably the best one, I feel.
Oh, man. Have you seen it, Zakharov? No?
I'm actually rewatching the old one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I want to start fresh and then follow. Yeah, because it's been too long ago.
Do it, because it what you're doing is probably, if you haven't seen it before, start with the old ones and then catch up. I don't want to spoil anything. Then the fact that you haven't seen the new ones, all I'm going to say is, it's the fourth episode, was it, Emmanuel?
Yeah, fourth.
Yeah, it's really, because at first I was a bit like, but it's it was a serious episode, man. Serious. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm here for. It's good.
Are they still like 20 minutes episodes?
25.
They're short.
Yeah, still the same kind of format, but yeah, it's good.
Mon ami.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil, just keep watching, man.
Yeah, I will for sure. Yeah.
You know what? You'll probably be the best person to ask about the feel of it, because we was talking previously about the nostalgia factor, and it was like, to me, it felt like a nostalgia bait. And with you actually watching it from the beginning, you can probably be the best person to see whether it still flows the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
From like,
because it's actually just a new season, right? It starts where the old one ends.
Yeah, that's it.
Like 97.
Yeah, exactly.
It had 5 seasons, I think.
Yeah, I think the original was 92 to 96 or something like that. Yeah. And this is 97, so...
No, I'm very curious how it goes on. Like, yeah.
Wolverine, man, he's still my favorite. When I was younger, I used to get sellotape around my hand.
What? Sellotape chopsticks? What?
No, I like pencils or...
Oh, okay.
On my hand. And I have to walk around the house going... like. And I wasn't even that young, you know. I'm not going to say how old I was when I was doing this.
It was only last week.
I was 26.
26.
Wolverine, Cable, Bishop. I love Apocalypse. Mr. Sinister. Love that guy. Mm. Wicked villains, man. Wicked.
All the bad ones.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, let us know when you catch up, Zach Ruff, and we'll revisit.
Yeah, I'm still in season one though.
Okay. It's a good season.
I usually watch episodes before sleep.
Okay, that's a good season. Season one, season two as well. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'll say no more. All right, next one we got on the new on streaming, Fallout. Fallout. So this is the series
game adaptation, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So this is basically on a video game, and it's about a dystopian world where, with what's going on in the world right now, like, when you think of Fallout, obviously Fallout is really exaggerated and stuff, but it's just makes you think about what could happen in the world. Obviously, we're going to talk about Civil War as well. Shit, there's a lot of madness right now, isn't it? In the world and in movies.
And it's kind of strange that all these movies are getting released at this time.
It's crazy.
End of the world stuff. Oh, yep. Gosh. It's like they're preparing us. You know? Netflix, what are you doing? Do you know something we don't know?
Crazy. But no. I saw an episode of Fallout yesterday. Mm. It's funny because it seems like a bit of comedy. It seems a bit light. Mm. And all of a sudden, somebody will get their head chopped off. And blood just goes... Psh, a bit like The Boys. It's a bit... It's crazy. That's all I'm going to say. But it does seem like an interesting show.
I like it as well so far. I'm on episode 4. And I really enjoy it. Yeah,
good.
I love the first 7 minutes of the first episode. Yeah. Where like... Right?
Play the game?
I never heard anything about the game. Oh, okay.
See, my brother's the gamer, so he was just like, no, it looks like they went in and did it real good.
Real good? Okay. That's good. Yeah.
That's good. But yeah.
It's another win for Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. That seems like an interesting show. I'm probably gonna watch some more today after we record. So
yes.
By next week I think I would have watched quite a lot. So,
it's just 8 episodes. Come on.
Just 8. Okay.
Just one day.
I'll try.
8 hours. Your love done.
All right. Cool. So that's what's new on streaming. Go check that out. First one, X-Men's on Disney Plus, and then we had Fallout on Amazon. Next, we've got some new trailers. So, a couple of new trailers. First one is Maxine.
What's this one about?
Maxine. So, have you seen...
The end of a trilogy? Right?
I think, pretty much.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, in a sense. Yeah.
Have you seen X? Have you seen Pearl? Have you seen those two films, Emmanuel?
No.
Okay.
I've heard you speaking about Pearl.
Pearl's a crazy film. And Mia Goff, gangster. Mm. She. I don't know what goes in her head. I don't know how she, like, to play, even, I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil Pearl, but one of the most interesting ends to a film, not even the end of the film, but just the credits.
Yeah.
I was like, have you seen Pearl? You've seen Pearl, Zycroft?
Yeah, I did.
You know the credits, the part where she's just.
Yeah. Like, this girl what, is five, 6 hours?
Yeah.
No, not hours, minutes. Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. And that alone just tells me this girl, she's just on the next level, man. Just
I don't think you want to know what's going on in her mind. She'll probably scare you, and then
trust me.
She'll have to be sectioned.
You know, when some actors are too convincing. It seems like they enjoy it too much. Mm. It's like there's a line. I mean, yeah, kudos. You're a good actor, but at the same time, I like. Yeah.
But this film is directed by Ty West, written by Ty West. Ty West loves those kind of sort of horror kind of, you know, crazy films. He directed the first two, Pearl and X. And this is the sort of next in the trilogy. This one, Mia Goth, you've got Elizabeth Debicki, you've got Michelle Monaghan, if I'm pronouncing her name right. You've got Giancarlo Esposito.
Gus
Fring himself.
Yes.
You've got a good cast list here, man. I see some really good actors here that are just going to do a great... I think Kevin Bacon's in it as well, I think. So, yeah, this looks like a crazy film. I'm not going to spoil it too much. Go watch the trailer. I mean, yeah, that's all I can say, man. This is good. This coming out... When's it coming out? This is coming out in... I want to say June. Am I saying June? Let me just say June. Oh, no, August, sorry. August. And this is A24, so say no
okay.
more. You know what that means.
Yeah. A24.
Exactly, A24.
I think Kevin Bacon just likes some kind of thriller horror movies, right?
Or... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A bit of bacon, you know? Sizzle thing up.
I bet, I mean, let's not go there.
The 60s is where we go there. We live there.
No, I want to say, I probably he just gets killed off right away.
Maybe.
You know, it seems maybe. Like it's something he would like to do.
Yeah, like a little cameo. We'll have to wait and see. I'm looking forward to that one in August anyway. That should be good. So check out the trailer if you haven't seen it so far. Definitely a film worth seeing. Definitely. All right, cool. So the next one on the list, Speak No Evil. Speak No Evil. So I know that's sometimes why Emmanuel's quiet. You know, sometimes you hang out with Emmanuel, yeah? Sometimes he's just there chilling. He won't say anything for 5, 6, 7 minutes.
Wow.
And it's because he doesn't want to speak any evil.
Oh, okay.
I'm joking.
No evil.
Have you seen this trailer? Have you seen this trailer yet?
Anyone? I haven't seen the trailer, no.
No, I haven't seen the trailer, but I do know that it's a remake from a Dutch film.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me back to Blumhouse, another remake. Like the original one is from 2022. And now we're getting an American version in 24. And I'm like, no.
Just 2 years later.
Yeah, just
before
2 years
the 22
later.
One, the 2013 one, was that the same?
No, that's just another movie with the same title.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
With that guy from, I think he was a wrestler or something. Kane.
Oh, yes.
I think that one was See No Evil.
Yeah, I think I've seen that film. I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane. No, I think this is a crazy film.
Yeah, but I think Teacher actually reviewed the Dutch film.
Okay.
He saw it and reviewed it a while ago, and he said it was very, very good.
It was.
Yeah.
If you find a way to watch it with subtitles, go watch that one instead of the American one.
Watch that one first.
Yeah.
Before I. And this one here, don't get me wrong, it does look interesting. Okay. James McAvoy, I think he plays a better villain than a goodie.
For sure.
He is in Split.
Yes.
Split. Yeah. He was wicked in Split in M. Night Shyamalan. And in this film, it looks like he's got a similar like Split personality. Like he seems like he's good, but then he seems evil as well. So this one basically is it's about, I think, two families that are going, they've gone on holiday or something like that. And I think they're sharing a villa or something like that. You know, they're sharing some time on holiday and they get friendly and stuff like that. And I think from something happens while they're spending their time and shit goes, you know, shit just turns upside down. Yeah. So I don't know fully what's going to happen, but I know something crazy is going to happen.
Yeah, well, the original is crazy for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. So I think that James, he plays the Dutch version or the English version of the Dutch couple, I think.
Okay, this looks interesting. I want to see it. So this is out, the Speak No Evil, this is out in September. So we've got a little while.
Wow.
So we've got plenty of time to find the original.
Yeah.
Why is it a common thread that a cabin or somewhere in the wilderness is never going to end up good?
That's the thing. I think there is a beauty to it. I get it.
Yeah.
But when you watch so many of these horror films, I now will find it difficult to do that. I find it difficult. I will.
But they are staying in a cabin in the trailer?
I think so. Yeah, it looks like a cabin type situation.
So they changed. Remote. They kind of changed the narrative then from the original.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's interesting. I'll still watch it, but I want to watch the Dutch version first. So, yeah, definitely. All right, cool. So that's that one. So that's Speak No Evil. So next, yeah. So we got what we got next. We got our anniversary corner. Ooh, this one goes back to 2009. This is The Road. Has anyone seen this one? The Road, 2009.
I can't remember.
Ooh, it's a long road.
What is it, a horror movie? It sounds like some sort of hitchhiker.
It's basically, the reason I put it on here is because it's like a dystopian end of the world type situation. The world has gone to shit, basically.
Tumbleweeds, Route 66 or something like that.
This one, it looks like the same sort of world in, you know, the Book of Eli.
Love that one.
It looks like a similar kind of environment. I can't even remember what happened to the world. It's a dangerous post-apocalyptic world. An ailing father, I think he's got some sort of sickness, defends his son as they slowly travel towards the sea, because I think the seaside is where maybe there's some sort of safety.
Haven,
so they've got to go across the city, go across the country, I think it's America, and across along the way, because the world is just basically, it's lawless. Mm-hmm. People, it's like, like The Walking Dead, like, all kinds of crazy people doing stuff. They'll kill you just for your food, just for your shoes. You know, and this, I remember watching this film in 2009. It's got Viggo Mortensen. So we've got, you know, Aragorn from Lord of the Rings, Charlize Theron, and we've got Cody Smith-McPhee, who played, who's that blue guy that keeps disappearing in X-Men? Not Daredevil.
Nightcrawler,
that's the one. Nightcrawler. So he played Nightcrawler in the recent X-Men films. Viggo Mortensen in this film is really good. And this film is really powerful. There's some really gruesome scenes in it. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Civil War. That's why I put it on there.
Okay.
It was like, the world is just a different place and there's no rules. And it's some of the scenes in this film, honestly, it was crazy. It's worth a watch. 2009, it's 15 years old now. And, you know, the way the world is going now, I really hope this film isn't a reflection of things to come. I really hope. Zachos laughing, yeah? He's laughing.
This is kind of real. It's an apocalypse episode, isn't it?
Yeah,
like a dystopian episode. I see what you did there.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's mad. What's going on? But if it is going to be the end of the world, at least you're going to get to hear us and see us as the world crumbles, and that will make it a little bit better for you.
Well, they might just get jarred when they're trying to find the signal for help.
Yes,
hearing
exactly.
Our voice.
And then you hear and they think, oh my God, finally someone. But no, it's a recording from 2000 something.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, that's The Road. Go please catch that. That's a really, really good film.
Watch list.
Yeah, directed by a person called John Hillcoat. And he also directed Lawless with, what's his name, Bane, Thomas Hardy, and Johnny Depp. So yeah, interesting film there. So yeah,
and a Black Mirror episode, I see.
Oh,
I'm actually watching. That's why.
Oh, Black Mirror and 999. What was 999 again? I remember that one.
End
of the world, isn't it? Remember that, was that a French film? Was that the one?
Never seen 999.
I'm getting mixed up.
No, I think that was a heist movie or something.
Yeah.
With a lot of actors.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, cool. All right then, cool. So that's the Anniversary Corner 2009. Go check that one out. And now that brings us nicely to our first movie of the week. So we talked about dystopian worlds and things going crazy and the world going upside down and what's going on in the news and stuff like that.
Yeah, better give a spoiler alert.
It's very timely that we're going to be talking about a film called Civil War. And we don't mean Captain America Civil War. We mean just Civil War. So this film came out literally a couple of days ago. We've all seen it. Oh my gosh, where do you start? I'm going to ask you both first of all. Maybe what I'll do first, I'll quickly set the scene real quickly. I don't want to go on too much, but I'll quickly set the scene and then I'll ask you what you thought of it. And just let me know exactly, give me as much information as you can. So this is Civil War. It's set in sort of today's world in America, and America is going through a civil war. And it seems that there's a couple of states, I think Texas and California. That are kind of working together in this civil war with other people in the country. The president seems to be against his people. I think it mentioned in the film he's gone through a third term, but you're not supposed to do. So it meant to be two terms of presidency. So this president is now just doing crazy things that you shouldn't do, killing his own people. This is the situation in the film. And then we're now the characters that we have, Kirsten Dunst, Wagner, I can't remember his surname, Wagner Mora, I think it is. They're sort of the main characters. They're journalists, photographic journalists, and they are now capturing the events of the Civil War. So that's sort of where we land. that's where we land. So I'm going to ask you both. I'll ask you first, Zakharov. What did you think of this film, man? I mean, what can you say?
There we have it. Speechless.
I have mixed feelings.
What are those mixed feelings?
The thing is,
man,
like, I was expecting a lot more.
Okay.
In a way, but I got something different. And I knew that it wasn't like for. Let's start with the trailer. The trailer was very misleading. In a way, it felt like this is a new Liam Neeson action flick, Gerald Butler, whatever thing. Yeah. But I know, Alex Garland, I know his movies. I'm a fan of his work. So I was expecting something different. I don't know. But I knew it wouldn't be an action movie. That I knew. But just, I don't know how it went. And the road trip was nice. I love Kirsten Dunst. Her character was amazing. Good role. I also loved, what's his name again?
Wagner Mora.
Wagner, yeah. Picasso. What's his name? Pablo Escobar.
Escobar, from Narcos. Yeah.
But the thing, one thing that annoyed me about the movie is the character of the kid.
Okay.
She ruined it.
Oh, really?
She ruined it for me. For one thing, she's supposed to be 23. She looked like 12.
Yeah, she looks younger. Yeah, I think she's supposed to be 23. That's what she said. 23. But I think she was lying.
Maybe she was lying. That could be possible. Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. There's also a scene in the trailer. I don't know if you've seen it, but right before the title card comes, you have a scene of a helicopter flying. Like it's night,
was it?
Yeah, in a war zone like Washington DC, and you see all these lights of fire and stuff like that, but you hear this very like eerie sound, like which kind of made you think like there's something else going on than just a civil war, you know, like okay, maybe a monster okay. or something oh, like that.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I kind of hope it's going that direction, yeah. but it's fine if it isn't. But at the same time, I'm like, watching his previous films, this film feels too simple in a way. It's not like he usually doesn't do this. Mm. Especially like I read that he is retiring from movie making. He just wants to write. And I'm like, okay, is this your last film? Okay. I didn't hate it, but I don't know. I expected something different.
The different that you expected, was it something a bit less like the scale? Did he want something a bit more intimate? Is that what you wanted or something?
Maybe in
not
a
so
way,
commercial.
Not so commercial, yeah. Because I read an article that people say like it's kind of in between an art house film and like a big budget movie, and it sometimes is difficult to mix up the two. So I was like, yeah, I kind of agree with it. Okay. Also with A24, they produced it, and I also read that they want to go more commercial and big scale, and I guess this is the first start of their projects.
Okay. Oh, sad to hear that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think, me too.
I think it did. I think I'd agree with you on the expectations, because when I saw the trailer, it felt to me like a Purge kind of movie. It had that kind of feel of it being a Purge movie. Like there's something happening in America, and they're having to basically like do like in the Purge, where it's, you know, everyone for themselves. But then what I actually got was a movie that didn't really explain what exactly was going on or gave me context as to how it got to where it started, like where, you know, how the movie opened up. It didn't give any context throughout the movie as to any of the details of how the Civil War came about. It just basically gave you, this is the president, it's a civil war's going on, and everyone's trying to basically, there's this movement between like the states and the people within these states feuding between each other, and they need to basically get rid of the president somehow. And it's basically like, gave me this journey with the three main characters that we saw. I mean, I liked seeing the old boy from Dune. He was one of the journalists, but he kind of like gave that old school journalistic, you know, feel and attitude versus Kirsten Dunst and the partner. And then you've got this girl who's like has an admiration for Kirsten Dunst's character and wants to basically fill her shoes in doing the same job, but I didn't know that she was like, I think maybe you might be right that she lied about her age, because she did look a lot younger than 22. But the journey the film was more about the people than it felt about everything else that was happening around it. And what was the guy, forgotten his name, he's a really good actor, and I do like him when he appears in the
Nick
films.
Nick Offerman, the president?
No, the guy who
I know
said,
what
type
he
of
means.
American are
yeah.
you?
Yeah, oh no. Oh, Jesse
Plemons. Yes, yeah.
That's Elizabeth, that's Kirsten Dunst's husband in real life.
Right, yeah, so his character, like, I felt that scene, because I was just like, the guy who Hong Kong, like the other two guys, like, I could just imagine myself being in that situation. There's all this chaos, right? And then you've got that moment in the film where there's this, you know, they're obviously press, and their weapon is a camera versus the people that they're following who have guns. So when they're shooting, they're taking pictures, and then coming across that Jesse Plemons' character, and then he's holding a rifle. You don't know what the hell he's thinking. All you know is that he's asked the question, what type of American are you? I'm just like, I don't know how to answer this question. Like, I'm American, and that's all I can answer. But when he shot the first guy, you're like, fuck. how do I get at myself out of this? And so I really liked the old guy who was like, nah, this feels wrong. This feels all wrong. Like, it's dangerous. Everything in my body is telling me this is not something that we need to get out of this vehicle for.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got when they venture into the other part of the state where it was like, did we go back in time or something? Everyone is acting as though that there's no civil war. But do you know what I mean? It's like, it was more a film about the people and how, there's the horrors and between the characters, horrors happening, and then the characters. Kirsten Dunst is like this hardened photographer versus the young girl who is still connected with the humanity part of it. So, like, she wants to be in Kirsten Dunst's position, but Kirsten Dunst is like the end product versus this girl who.
That's going to be her in the future if she comes.
Yeah. And it was the way the end happened, and it was almost felt to me like she had basically passed the threshold where now the humanity side of it is like she just automatically like turns into a machine. Like, you have to basically, you see someone get shot, you kind of like have to ignore it and then just keep to the job, which is taking the pictures. And that last scene was almost to me like that was her crossing that threshold. And so it wasn't what I had imagined to receive from having seen the trailer. Yeah. So I'd agree with the comment about it was deceiving.
Yeah.
But I think it was, I felt it was a good movie.
Yeah.
With, you know, Civil War.
I think I agree as well in that when I first saw the trailer, I didn't know what to expect. And sometimes I like that with films.
Mm.
But I actually think it was a really, really good film. And I feel like the film was almost like a feature length short film, if I can say that. Because sometimes, you know, you watch short films on YouTube or wherever, and you get a snippet. You only get a bit of the whole story.
Yeah.
You don't know what happened before. You won't find out what's going to happen after. You just get a bit. That's a short film. And this felt like a long short film. we weren't told why the Civil War happened.
Yeah.
We don't know what's happening after the president. Sorry, I don't want to spoil anything. We don't know what's going to happen after the film.
Yeah.
And lots of things weren't explained. But tell you what, because these days with Hollywood, you get spoon-fed so many things. Everything just gets explained to you. I did feel it was a really good, refreshing change.
Yeah.
Alex Garland said that he wanted it to be that way. He didn't want to tell everyone everything in an interview. He said that was what he wanted. And he said that some of the characters, they were the way they were because they're reflections of different people and how they would respond to something like this.
Yeah.
Like, you saw the young girl, she started off, like you said, she was very, like, emotive. Like, she saw something, she would cry, it was like kind of thing, and soon enough all her emotions were sucked out.
Yeah.
She was able to just do the job, like Kirsten Dunst, who I think she was, her emotion, her humanity was totally sucked out.
Yeah.
So I don't want to spoil it, but there was a time in which she was numb, like she didn't even know what to do anymore. She was a wreck.
Yeah,
and then you had Wagner Moura, who said he's getting an erection because all this shooting's happening. My man is getting horny from all this shooting. So there's so many things with that. I think Alex Garland said he wanted to show how humanity is, and also just how sick humanity is. Look how they were killing each other.
Yeah,
look how they were doing it. You know, like there's an image of someone getting a tire on them and burnt. Some people think, oh, that's crazy in the film.
Yeah,
that shit happens in real life.
Yeah.
if that happens, that today that's happening to someone. Do you know what I mean?
But yeah, but I think I think that was also put in there too because it was a strong image, which ties in with the photography part of it.
Yeah, but it happens, Emmanuel. Mm. Like literally in 2024, it's happened. It's happening. People do that to other humans, and it just goes to show the depravity and the sickness and the I can't even think of the words, but just how low humans can get to when we follow each other. Like back in the day with the Nazis and stuff, they said, oh, I'm just following orders. Following orders. It shows how sheep humans can be.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Yeah, sure. I think, I don't know, time's ticking, but this film, I think I would like to see it again, actually. I was really surprised by how interesting. It didn't give me everything. I still got questions and I like that. And yeah, I hope that this never happens in real life. That's all I can say. It was interesting as well. So seeing the two stars on the American flag. I didn't understand at first what was going on. I had to do research afterwards, you know, but I understand more now because I've seen stuff, but it's just interesting, you know?
But so, I also think with all his films, like, you have to watch it again.
Yeah.
I mean, he has only 4 movies, but they all have, like, things, you know, that you don't see at first, and then, okay, so that makes sense now.
Exactly.
As well with this one, I think, like, if you've molded a bit, it really is about journalism and war photographers, you know? And I think that is in front. And all the other thing that the whole Civil War is like background, like what you said, it's more about their journey instead of what the trailer is selling.
He actually said in an interview as well that when he was younger, I think he said his dad was a journalist or something like that. But when he was younger, he used to hear stories of people that had come back from Vietnam.
Right.
And he said that those people were a wreck in their
never
head.
The same
things
again,
that they saw were a wreck, and he said that he wanted to capture some of that old school vibe in the young girl, and that's why she used the old camera.
Right.
He said that he wanted to give her like a bit of a, you know, old school feel in a young person because she had the old camera, and that's how she worked and stuff. And he just, there's all these little things that he put into the film on purpose to give it that character and give it a bit more, you know, spice. So I do appreciate it, but
he's a good filmmaker for
definitely.
Sure.
Yeah. But I don't think, you know, you mentioned that he's going to be retiring from directing. I still think we're not going to lose too much because I think a lot of his writing is so good.
Yeah,
the director gets an easier job. I mean, he wrote Judge Dredd, not Judge Dredd, Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
You know the 2012 version. He wrote that. Do you know what I mean? And that's one of the best Dredd films, Judge Dredd films. That's a really good film. You know, so there's certain things that he's done. He's written novels and
one of the best. There's only two.
There's like, you know, the Sylvester Stallone one.
Yeah.
I am the law.
Yeah, you got the Dredd one with Carl Urban. Doesn't take his helmet off.
No.
That's how Dredd is supposed to be.
Exactly.
You know, so. Yeah. But yeah, I recommend Civil War. I don't know. I think I recommend it. Go see it. If you haven't seen,
what would
Civil
you give
War,
it out of 5 stars then?
You're like a 5-star system.
I'm 10. What, 0? No, 1 to 10. So I give it. Okay. I give it like a 7. I think.
If it's 1 to 10, I actually give it an 8.5.
Have you seen it in IMAX?
No, but I would like to. I saw it in a good screen.
Somewhere Odeon.
And she didn't fall asleep. That's a sign of a good film. She enjoyed it too.
Okay.
So you know, so that's Civil War. Go watch it if you haven't seen it. Please go watch it. It's a really interesting film. We didn't spoil it too much for you on purpose because we want you to enjoy the film fresh, just like us.
Fresh.
All right, cool. So we're gonna do the next film. Next film we're gonna do is The First Omen. The First Omen. So I'll quickly just quickly set the scene on this one, then we can talk about this one. So First Omen is set before the events of The First Omen. That was so The Omen, that's 1976. This film is set before that. So this is The First Omen in the timeline. And this tells a story of a nun who's gone to Italy. and played by Nell Tiger. What's her name? Nell Tiger Free. What a name.
Yeah.
Nell Tiger Free. And she goes to Italy to do the ceremony where she becomes a nun. I can't remember what that's called. And within that, we find out that she's had a past. She's gone through some stuff.
Yeah, they all have.
Yeah, exactly. And the place where she is, where all the nuns are and stuff, there's other young girls, orphanage or something like that. There's other young girls that are there. And there's a girl there who's gone through some stuff and people kind of put her to the side because she's a bit dangerous or something like that. And she kind of takes a liking to her. And throughout the film, things happen. You know, this is the omen, so you kind of know spooky shit is going to happen. So that's kind of really quickly just setting the scene of why the film is happening and where it's happening in Italy, you know, Vatican, all that, near all that kind of environment. So that's what it is. So I'm going to ask you again, what did you think of the first Omen?
I took my time to watch this, man.
Yeah.
Okay, I just don't. You
go first. You go first, man. You'll go.
I just don't. I just don't. Well, I mean, the Omen, the original one was good, but man, when it comes to stuff like this, I just don't sit. It doesn't sit comfortably with me to watch this because it's the Omen, and then you're talking about 666. It's on the poster. It's everything.
Okay,
like,
okay.
It's like feeling like some juju is gonna come on me if I watch it.
You feel unsettled. So.
Why don't you watch it with a Bible then? I have like 5 Bibles in my house and a Quran.
There you go. You're covered, mate. You're
just
covered.
In case. I'm only missing the Torah. Oh, no, but I get what you mean.
What do you think of the film? Did you like it? Was there anything that, you know?
It was okay, but the first parts of it kind of like felt a little bit like a, I don't know. My mind went into like a bad joke. It was like the priest is always an Irish guy, right?
Wow. Yep.
And then O'Brien.
and then the nun was American, wasn't she? And then and then we got an Italian. So it's like, yeah. Somehow it came to my mind. It was like, oh, this could be a joke in English, in English, Irish, and a, you know. But I just didn't really feel comfortable watching the whole all the way through. I mean, it is like what Zakharov said. It felt unsettling. I should have been watching it with a Bible.
Did you like it though? Did you like it or not? I still can't tell. Like, I don't know.
No, I don't think
it's
I like it.
He doesn't like it.
I don't think I like it.
You said it was unsettling, but sometimes that could mean a good thing. That means that the horror's working. But
yeah,
I like the film as well. I mean,
there was several images where the woman reminded me of the poster smile. And I was just like,
okay, when you're
smiling like that, it was happening too many times. Like the first opening, when there's the glass that's being put in the building,
and it
falls,
yeah.
And then the guy's like, "Are you okay, Father?" And then he's like, "Yeah."
Oh my gosh!
But it was scary because. There was the scenes where you saw the birthing, and I was just like, "No, I can't watch that."
What did you think, Zakharov? What did you think?
Well, I'm kind of the opposite, but the thing is, like, I love films about, you know, exorcism, Satan. Mm. That's kind of nun stories, but I've seen so many, and they're basically almost the same. It's always the same premise. It's almost predictable. You know, the friend they meet outside is part of the coven, stuff like that. Personally, I'm not a fan of The Omen, the whole franchise. I was more the other side, Exorcist.
Okay.
So I wasn't really like, oh, I need to see this movie, but it's more like because we were gonna talk about it, I went. Yeah. But again, it feels like an unnecessary prequel, remake, whatever you want to call it. It's a prequel nobody asked for. But I guess Disney needs money and they want to put, you know, they want to keep the franchises alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they have all the rights. So I think that's why it came. But nobody was expecting this. I mean, even like The Last Exorcist, you know, it wasn't a big success. So nobody was thinking, okay, let's make The Omen then. But they still did it.
The Last Believer, I mean. Oh, that was rubbish. Oh,
exactly.
Man, I didn't like that. Yeah.
Exactly, you know? So I was like, no, thank you, but no.
I think, also, like you said, it's just to be able to use it, really.
To keep the rights alive. But it's just the same story over and over and over again. Like, if you want to see a better version, go watch Immaculate.
Okay. Have you seen Immaculate?
I've seen it, yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I'll quickly mention what I was going to say, then we'll talk about Immaculate. I think we should, you know. But for me, I think I'm the opposite. As in, I actually like this film, you know. Honestly, I did. I'll tell you why I liked it. I liked it because, first of all, Nell Tiger Free, I think she's a good actress. I've seen her in Servant, in M. Night Shyamalan's on Apple.
Yeah.
And she plays a similar character there, actually. Very sort of timid-looking girl, kind of spooky, kind of, you know. So she's, I didn't realize also she was in Game of Thrones. She was
one of the kids.
Yeah, Marcella Lannister. I didn't realize. But I did appreciate the fact this film was quite patient. It wasn't a lot of jump scares. The horror was psychological and real, as in the trying to get her pregnant, a bit like Rosemary's Baby and stuff like that. It's kind of shit that I can see happening in the world, you know. It's mad. But
the idea was crazy.
the idea of what they're trying to do, bring back the Antichrist, because the world has gone to shit and
the people aren't believing in Jesus.
That for me was a bit like
insane.
I was you're going to bring this person that you know is evil to try and scare people into now coming to the church. And what are you going to do with this guy now? He's going to be free. You can stop now being evil. You can go back. You've got the people in the church now. Thank you. No, you know. But apart from that, no, I did appreciate the film. I appreciated a lot of the cinematography and the sound. That for me was one of the scariest things. The sound was quite scary. The music was quite similar to the original Omen. And I did like, and I'm going to speak about it just real quickly, but I did really, really, I know this is probably going to be hot and cold, but I really liked the moment where she started to become almost possessed.
Outside, you mean?
Yeah, I'd never seen.
She was doing, right?
Well, she was doing the dance.
No, she was having sex.
It was.
You know that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was having sex. That's why she was like that.
When she was outside the car.
Yeah.
You see? You know what? It was with the demon, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know what? The way it looks, yeah.
I can just imagine moaning and everything.
Yeah, being on set and saying, okay, we've got to do this action. Still, to pull that off, it just looked crazy. Like, I was like, the cinema was quiet. It was just mad. Well, you've never seen anything like
people
it.
People were laughing over here, but
is it?
Yeah. But I'm in the wrong place, so.
Okay. No, it's good. I actually think, like, whether the people like the film or not, I really like the actress, and I think she can do a lot. I think she reminds me a little bit like of the, not the same, but you know, like the sort of Mia Goth crowd of those actresses that.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They kind of can do a lot of weird stuff, and I kind of like that. But I did appreciate time and chances. Yeah, she's quite young. I think she's like 24 or something like that. I really appreciated the film. I kind of liked it. I'm not gonna lie. I think for me, it was horror, but it was kind of trying to be old school horror and not be the new school silly horror.
I think the pacing of it felt like the original.
Yeah.
The way it was kind of
But I think the end, I think, was a bit.
One mild spoiler, I guess. Like the creature
Yeah, I didn't need to see it.
Sorry, but it looked like a rata.
Yeah.
It was a rat. A big it rat. Was a rat
face.
You
didn't need to see it. Sometimes the horror. The
imagination is.
Yeah, it's the creativity.
Thank you. Thank you. You didn't need to see it. That took away. Yeah. So yeah, overall, I would still say it's worth a watch. I would still say it's worth a watch.
Wait till it's out on Disney Plus, people.
That's the thing, yeah.
I mean, Halloween is coming again, so you have something to watch.
It'll come out in June, probably, I reckon. Disney Plus in July. But yeah, so that was the first Omen. And funny enough...
And the last.
It probably won't be the last.
No,
I don't think so.
I watched the original Omen right after this, and then I watched Omen 2. So I've seen it now I've got the third Omen to watch now still.
Okay.
There are five, right?
There's a fourth one, and then there's a 2006 one, I think.
Yeah, a remake, and there's also a TV show about...
Oh, a TV show.
When he's like an adult. It's called Damien.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that one.
No. I was wondering, like, some people name their kids Damien.
Ooh,
have you not seen that?
Just because of that, I'm not your friend.
No, but even if you put the film aside, like, I feel like the name, like, also in some textures, it's Damien, you know, it's I don't think it's a good name. In Greek, you have Deimos.
That means demon, isn't it? It's like.
It's a very common Greek name, Deimos. So,
Deimos.
Keep my candle with me.
And that's one of the moons of Mars is Deimos, isn't it, or Deimos?
I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Well, I guess we're moving on, but it's not going to be any better. So we're talking about now. Let's quickly talk about Hidden Gem. Mm. We have to talk about this Hidden Gem because it kind of links to the first Omen. And this Hidden Gem is called Immaculate. Immaculate. I know, Zakroff, you said you've seen it. I think you should know.
No, I'm not going to say anything. No. Okay. I'm just going to say, just watch that one instead of The Omen.
Is it?
And I think Sydney Sweeney, her performance is
wicked.
Wicked. She produced the film.
Is it?
Yeah. And it's kind of funny that they both came in at the same time. You know, you have the first Omen and you have Immaculate. That's all I'm going to say. Watch it. It's a hidden gem.
It's the same spot, yeah?
Have you seen Immaculate yet, Emmanuel?
I haven't seen it, no.
But he's not going to watch that. Come on. That's clear.
Immaculate. So I'll quickly just mention it. I know we were kind of running out of time, but I think Zakroff is right. Immaculate, it's actually a film that many people are not talking about, you know. Oh. In the cinema, there were not many listings of Immaculate. I had to find a listing where I can, you know, watch it. It wasn't easy.
Right.
But Immaculate, Sydney Sweeney, who we've seen in Euphoria. We've seen her in a whole bunch of other stuff. She's one of those actresses that are really up and coming. She's quite young as well. This film is an hour and a half. It's very, very similar premise as the first Omen. A nun from America goes to Italy to take her vows and become, you know, a qualified nun, if I can say that. She's had a past. There's not really she's had history, nothing too crazy, I don't think. And she's going there and she has to navigate that whole environment. Among, similar to the first Omen, other nuns and people that you're thinking, like, what are you doing? Like, they seem a bit
shady.
Yeah, they seem a bit shady. We've got the man from La Casa de Papel.
The professor
from Money Heist. He's in it. Very shady character in this one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this one has a similar premise. I'm not going to spoil it too much because I think you should watch it with a clean mind. But they want to do something to Sydney Sweeney. The people in they want to do something to her because they have a reason. They want to do something to her. That's all I can say. Something very
not talking
not
about
right.
Devil's threesome, huh?
something not right. And the term immaculate is very, you know, it links in with the film. She comes immaculate. She comes with a clean body, if I can say that. And they want to use that to do something to her. That's very ungodly, in my opinion. And, you know, she has to now deal with that. Mm-hmm. Things like, I'm being careful not to spoil it too much, because I didn't know anything about this film, and that helped me enjoy it more.
Right.
And I'm stopping myself from saying something that happens in the film that I'm very shocked with loved. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
This is not, all I'll say is, it's not at the start of the film. There's a thing that you never see in a film.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, did that happen? I still don't know. I still don't know if it happened or not. All I can say is, like Zakov said, if you're going to go and see a film in the cinema right now, go and see Immaculate. People are not talking about it.
No.
The reviews, I think, have been good from what I've seen.
Yeah. Performances are there, you know. The look of the film is great as well. It's also very graphic at times.
Oh my gosh.
Different than The Omen is.
Oh wow.
Which was like, oh shit, yeah. But it's good, you know?
Yeah.
You need to see it.
Yeah. You need to see it.
Nah, I don't need to see it. I could have my Bible, my rosary, my holy water, probably.
Just bring everything. Florida water, everything.
Florida water. Oh my God.
Hey, I have one here. What were you saying? You wanted to say something.
All the films that we've spoken about, I don't think the budgets have been crazy. Which is quite refreshing. Like, even Civil War budget $50 million, which is A24's biggest budget.
But it felt bigger than $50 million.
It did.
Yeah. The skill was
creativity.
Big. Great. Also the cameras, everything. Yeah, you know,
exactly. First Nun was not a big budget. Immaculate, not a big budget. But I think the way forward. And that's why I was sad to hear you say, Zakharov, that A24 now
more
commercial. That is really sad news, man. Because I think having that minimized budget, it makes the creativity, like, you know, you have to be more creative to do something.
Have a hunger for it.
Yeah, you don't have to always have special effects go push, push, push.
No.
You can be more intimate, and I think that's...
They're such a unique production company, you know?
Yeah.
From the start. It's always with A24. It's always, you either like it or you don't like it. It's not always like a middle way with their movies. So I hope they don't go there.
Yeah, hopefully.
But I think they will. They started with Civil War.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be possible if they want to expand and grow. So.
Yeah. And also with all these, you know, their movies are winning prizes lately.
Yeah, Oscars.
So
right.
So they see like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Probably the CEO changed.
Always a bad sign, huh?
We can start one. The Flicksters company.
We call it A25.
A teacher's production.
Gosh. Yeah, we'll see what happens, eh? That's soon. I think that's it, you know. I think that's so we've done main movie. So like I said, go see Civil War, go see First Omen, definitely go and see Immaculate. All the films we've spoken about today, all good films in their own way.
You
see it, you let us know what you think, and keep tuned into the Flicksters. So I'm not sure what's out next week. I don't know, I haven't looked ahead, but I'm sure something will be out that we'll talk about.
Is that Abigail is out as well.
Yes,
there's Dracula's daughter, right?
Whose daughter?
Dracula.
Oh yes.
I think
I
don't think I read it somewhere, but I'm not like, if this is true, I don't know.
And also Back to Black, the Amy Winehouse film.
I've seen that one.
Do you want to see, you've seen it? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Where? Oh yeah. Oh, no, it's already out. Yeah.
Pre-screener. No.
Oh, okay. Look at you.
Was it good?
Look at you. And then we've got Mad Max coming out soon. What else coming out soon? A few things. So yeah, so we've got a few things to look forward to, I think. We've got a few things to look forward to. So we'll leave it there. So next time, Teacher will be back as well. ready to teach us some more. But yeah, thanks, teacher. Guys. It's been a really good show. I knew it was going to be a good show. I said 50 minutes. That was never going to happen. That was never going to happen. Too much to talk about, but yeah, it's been really good seeing you and talking about movies as usual. Zakharov,
thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Yes. Anytime, Emmanuel.
Thank you, Emmanuel.
Thanks. So yeah, until next time.
Always a pleasure. Out.
Don't forget to get a Bible.
Oh, yeah.